come and see what all the hype is about. Tune in to The Hype 87.3.
That's right. It is your girl, Tampa Mystic, and we are live right here in ATL on The Hype 87.3. We have a special guest checking in today. He came in his happy colors, open face. What's going on?
What's going on?
It's a pleasure to have you here. You definitely came through with them positive energy, good vibes. That's what I'm talking about. You wearing yellow. You ain't got no choice.
Yeah, you know, got to shine bright like the sun. You know,
facts. Absolutely. Well, you look fly, man. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, you know, I go by the name of Open Face. You know, I've been doing music for a little while. Jumping back out here on the scene, man, trying to, you know what I'm saying, let these folk know what's going on. You know how I go. From Atlanta, you know, been here my whole life, yeah. Born and raised, you know, love my city. So, you know, just came out here to kick it with you and spend some time, you know, talk a little bit.
Absolutely. You know. Let people get to understand your journey. I think as an artist, that's one of the most important things that some people miss is people want to know your journey. Fans of yours really want to know you. They want to feel like they're a friend of yours, right?
Right.
So what part of Atlanta did you grow up in?
I grew up in Decatur.
In Decatur. Where's yeah. Greater?
Where's Greater. Always Greater. I went to Southwest DeKalb High School.
Okay.
You know, so you know, I know a lot of people from there. I got in trouble like most of my friends. Got put out. Had to go to alternative school.
Happens.
Graduated from Columbia High School. I went there for a semester just to graduate after alternative school. But my years are Southwest DeKalb. So.
I mean, that's still a blessing, though. You made it through. You graduated. You know what I'm saying? That's fire. I love it. Growing up in Atlanta, taking it back to your childhood. We'll say before the age of 10. What were you like? What were you into?
Man, I wasn't a bad kid. I was just like, you know, I actually went outside.
Okay.
So, you know, I went outside. I could play before the street lights come on, you know. Stuff
on the
like
green
that.
Box?
Yeah, sat on the green box, you know. We used to get boxes, man. At 10 years old, man, we used to get boxes and slide down the hill on the grass in the back of the apartment. So, yeah, we used to do a lot of stuff. It was fun.
You know what I love about that is I really feel like kids, you know, I know you're younger than me, but, you know, kids, like when you were young or when I was young, we really had to use our imagination to come up with stuff to do because we didn't have tablets and smart TVs and cell phone. We didn't have none of those, not even a computer. You know what I'm saying? Right, like there was a lot of luxuries that kids have today. So we were forced to use our imagination. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Were you at all interested in doing music when you were younger?
Not that I know of. I don't remember, but I do have a picture. My mom have a picture of me and two of my cousins where we had one of those little red little microphones.
Yeah.
That you know, when you talk into it, it make the little sound and all that. So I don't even know. It's possible.
Yeah.
Possible.
Understood. You know? Listen, trust me. I get it. There's only a few highlights from my childhood that I remember. It's just because I feel like over the years, we have so much that we endure and go through you know, possible traumas and stuff. We forget about a lot of that stuff. So it's just natural. Hell, I can't remember what I wore a couple days ago. You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna remember that yellow suit hoodie, though.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna forget that.
Nah, but it was my childhood was actually pretty good. Like I did a lot of things that kids did. Like I rode bikes, I rode a skateboard.
Yeah,
both got stolen at some point. Yeah, one day I think I rode my skateboard to the bus stop and I needed to hide it, so I hid it in the bushes. When I came back home, it was gone.
Oh man, you know? That's so disappointing,
yeah,
ain't it?
Yeah, I didn't ride a skateboard since then. I was so
bored. Like them suckers done took my skateboard. Yeah. That's crazy. But yeah, that's just the world we live in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's the world we live in. When I moved to Atlanta, the first year of my car, I had a Dodge Charger. And, you know, you got a Challenger, right?
Yeah.
Chargers, Challengers, they're flashy kind of cars. I had 22-inch wheels on mine. It was, you know, that thing got broken into 3 times my first year. And I was just like, dang. But you learn quickly where to go, where not to go, you know. But that's anywhere you go.
That's anywhere, yeah.
You're going to deal with it anywhere.
Like, I'm not parking over here. Like, nah, I'm straight. Let me find somewhere else. Where valet at? Like, look, y'all need to make sure my car's straight, you know.
Facts. And I say that to say this. When I was probably, I want to say maybe about 20, 21, me and one of my homegirls, we were roommates. And we were living in these apartments. And they were, you know, gated community. It was decent. Man, do you know I got up to go to work and literally my car is parked right outside of our front door. They had broken my car. Like, they broke the little keyhole out. My car door was standing open. When I walked outside, I was like, why is my car door open? Like, it was open like that much. I get in. My dash was ripped out. I was like, so I say that to say this. It can happen anywhere, you know?
Yeah, it really
can. Crazy. Was sports ever a passion for you?
A little before high school.
Yeah.
Like, I played park ball. I played at Midway. I played football for the Panthers, Midway. You know, so I played for a little while. Like, I had fun. But then we actually lost a bowl game, and it really made me feel away.
Yeah.
So the next year, I was like, man, I don't want to practice. I don't want to do none of this. You know what I'm saying?
You and
so,
your feelings.
Yeah, I was done. Plus, I was getting into more of the hood stuff, you know.
Understood.
I'm chilling. Music was something that by middle school, music was a thing that kind of started presenting itself, and I don't really care for sports.
Understood.
I watch them, I'm not playing them.
No, absolutely. I mean, shoot, sports, you're prone to injuries. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to sustain one of them bad injuries that they be getting.
Nah.
Knees messed up, back messed up.
Right.
Definitely. Well, the ones that do it, definitely shout out to them. So you said around middle school, music started becoming a passion. Would you say growing up in the Atlanta area had an influence on you? Because it's a music city.
Yeah, I give it that. It was more, it was a couple of my friends, of my friends. Like, I never really thought about it until they said something.
Mm.
And then it made me want to, let me see what I can do.
Yeah.
You know, they were actually two brothers that, you know, my best friends growing up. One of them passed away not too long ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
What is his name? Creative.
Yeah.
He was a producer and everything. They got me started. He was trying to produce then.
Mm.
So I got into the music, and maybe a couple months after we kind of decided to do it, maybe I'll say 3 months, the brothers was like, nah, we done. I'm like, what, bro, you done
we
got
just
me
started.
Yeah. So I continue, and then from there, it just kind of, you know, it went on from there. A couple of my friends, a couple of my people, like different groups. But the beginning, didn't even expect it. Wasn't even trying. It just became a thing.
So you started out as an artist. They were producing. You were the artist.
Mm-hmm.
That is dope, man. So how long would you say that you've been taking it, like, professionally, though, where you got your music business together and all that? How long has that been?
Let me think. I have to look at my, I have to look at when I first released something, like, on iTunes and Apple Music. Probably 19.
Okay.
2019.
Probably. So going on 5 years, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good amount of time. What was the transition for you? What made you decide that you wanted to really step your game up and take it more seriously?
So back, it was a while back, like pre, I want to say around crime mob era.
Yeah.
Right? I was in a group called Kick, though.
Mm.
We had a song called I Bet You Won't Swing. That's back when they were doing passing out flyers to promote clubs. So we used to go to the Atrium and perform.
Yes.
Perform at the Atrium Club named Legacy. And we had a good motion. Like Wallow and a lot of other promoters back then, they knew who we were.
Yeah.
But they didn't really want to rock with us because we had a fight song too.
Yeah.
They were like, man, we like y'all. We like y'all music, but hey, y'all fight a lot. You know what I'm saying? But when you got a fight song, people want to try you. So, and we had a big crew. So we used to do the phone parties at the Atrium. We used to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And, we had a difference in opinion on how we wanted to move.
Yeah.
So we ended up separating the group. So once we separated the group, we still good friends.
But yeah.
The group separated. I felt like this. They felt like that. And then the group. And Stat Quo at the time was looking at us too.
Yeah.
It was like, well, you know, y'all need to come down to Macon and come to some of our clubs and see what we're doing. So see, you know, see if y'all like it.
Yeah.
And we went down as a group, but it didn't really work out, you know. And I saw him later on in another studio, and I talked to him like, you remember this? He was like, yeah, well, how y'all doing? I said, nah, we broke up. He was like, oh, man, y'all should have kept that together, you know, but it's life.
Sometimes it can happen because, you know, every human being has some pride. We all have a little bit of an ego from time to time. And, you know, oftentimes those can collide. And before it becomes to the point where you guys do fall out, it's best to separate. Be like, bro, we still cool. Mm. But we're not going to be a group anymore. And there's nothing wrong with that. Historically, over the years, a lot of groups have, you know, dissolved, but they still continue to do music on their own like you have.
Man, gosh. Some of them groups, we were like literally standing right at the door.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I got my first, we got our first opportunity with DJ A1. So
okay.
DJ A1 was a, he was just, it was like an open mic and he was the DJ there. And after we performed our song, he saw us outside and was like, hey, man, y'all want to come out to this club and, you know, perform? I'm like, I appreciate you. Come out there and put us on. And it wasn't like, it wasn't open mics. It was like, come out here. This is a show with us. And this and this.
That's dope.
It was actually pretty cool. But it's been so many years. Like, I hadn't talked. My group, yeah. But anybody else who kind of I met throughout the way, I hadn't talked to them folks in years, you know?
It like you said, that's life. It happens.
Yeah, it happens.
That's why they say it's lonely at the top.
Right.
Really, and realistically, they say it's lonely at the top because along our journey, people are going to either weed themselves out or we have to leave them alone unapologetically because not everybody's intended to come on your journey with you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, you know, and I see how it happens. It's like when you're trying to get to the top, there's some people who they don't have the they don't know how to, like, carry themselves, right?
Yeah.
So let's say we're in a meeting somewhere with some business people and this person don't know how, he's not good with his words. So anger and agitation comes out instead of intelligent speech. So then all of a sudden now you're in this meeting with me and you don't like something they say and you may blurt out or act a certain way and it'll mess up a whole big deal when all we had to do was say, look, we don't like this. Can you do this way? Can you do that? And they were willing to fix that. So now you got to push this person to the side who's close to you. Like, look, you can't come. Now they feel away. Oh, you don't want me to be around you? No, you don't know how to handle yourself.
Man, that is the hugest facts ever. You know, something I talk about with a lot of these youngins that I interview is I tell them in life, you have to learn to be more proactive rather than reactive. Yeah. Reactive will when it'll put you in some bad situations or take you out of a good situation like that. If they, you know, just be proactive and think about, put your game face on. If I go into this meeting and I'm not liking what I'm hearing, I'm not going to blurt out. I'm just going to sit there and listen and just know that I won't put myself in this position again. It's okay.
Right, right. And there you go. You learn how to put yourself in the position again.
Like, 100%.
Like, hey, look, I rock with you, but I'm not going to let you mess up what I got going on. So,
man,
I'm going to let you be you. I'm going to accept you for who you are, but you can't be everywhere.
Right, because what you may feel is right for you, somebody else may feel totally different, and that's okay. They're not intended to come with you.
There you go.
You know, so we just have to be mindful because it's really about protecting our peace at the end of the day.
Yeah, there you go.
We have to protect our peace, and, you know, like, the world is already ugly enough as it is with so much craziness going on after, like, we talked about people stealing and breaking and calling. It's insane, right? But there's so many beautiful things out there as well.
Oh, yeah. Things, yeah.
Definitely. So over these 5-ish years that you've been doing music, how would you say that you have really evolved as an artist? Like, give us some of them highlights.
So it's like recording myself. Like,
yeah.
At one point you were being a slave to the studio.
Yes.
And the engineer you're dealing with and stuff like that. So it's like, hey, I need to record something. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
They don't pull up. You know, and I'm just out here waiting. Or you finish a song, like, hey, you gonna mix this down for me? You gonna, oh, I got you, man. And nothing is done. You know, having music from back then that's not released now, right? But learning over time how to release your own music.
Yeah.
So, like, those things are, like, key. Like, getting my own studio, being able to record myself. I have an engineer that I send this stuff to. I got a mastering guy that I send it to. I send it to Patchworks, Kenny Mix.
Mix. Patchwork is A1. Yeah.
My boy Kenny Mix does all my mastering.
That's dope.
That's my guy. So it's like, it's just certain things I learned. It's like, you don't fault the people. You just make a different move, you know? So
I agree.
I learned. So my cousin was in the group. Kenfolk, his brother passed away. We decided to start a group. And we were together. We had a song called I Quit. We used to do a song called I Quit. We used to perform on the South Side and all that stuff. You know?
Kenfolk, like, in his Instagram with the number 8?
No, Kenfolk with an AK.
Oh, okay, because I had recently interviewed a Kenfolk with the number 8. Okay, yeah, got you.
Kenfolk with AK. It was a couple of years ago. We had a song called I Quit. Yeah, we met a lot of people down there. We actually met Clay before he passed. Clay rocked with us a little bit and stuff like that. Grand Hustle Clay.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of stuff going on, but then my cousin got locked up.
Mm.
And when he locked up during that time, that's when I learned how to release my own music, start learning how to use TuneCore, how to make sure, you know, everything's registered, make sure this and this and that. So now, anytime I release something, it's everywhere. It's not even like a, you know, the importance of mixing and mastering and all that, sounding like the professionals if you want to be a professional.
Man, you are hitting on something right now. I'm so serious because I've been in this industry for about 13 years now, and I've been a radio personality the whole time. So, of course, I get a lot of artists that want to send music to me, which is fine. I want to hear new music. But it's amazing to me how some of these platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, will allow anything on their platform. Like, shade, but no shade, but shade. I had an artist that sent me a record a couple weeks ago, and I don't never try to insult people.
Right.
I try to give them constructive criticism, right? Mm-hmm. But this record he sent me, honest to God, it was probably the worst record I've heard in my entire life. It had no mix on it, let alone a master. His vocals were horrible and shaky, and I'm just like, and he had it on the platforms like that. I'm like, somebody needs to tell this guy that. I told him. I said, if no one else is going to be the one to tell him, damn it, I'm going to tell him. And I did. And I tried to do it in a way where I don't hurt people's feelings.
Right.
And I've had some people say that I'm kind of mean or harsh. I'm like, I'm not. I'm just matter of fact. I'm trying to help. I'm not trying to insult you. I'm trying to help, you know. So that's good that you have got everything in line. So you have a setup at the crib?
Yeah. I set up at the crib, man. It's nice, man. Like even
I love it.
I had to buy some more stuff because I was at another spot, and the way I recorded it was good. When I moved to the new spot, it was more of an open room. And I sent some records to my mixing guy, and he was like, hey, when he sent it back, it sounded funny.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, this sounded a little different. He said, man, look, I'm going to be honest with you. You need to re-record this because however you had it set up before was perfect. What you got now, I don't know what's going on. He didn't know I had moved already.
But he could tell it in the recording, yeah.
So he tried to mix it the best he can.
It's a good engineer. It's
different. Yeah, so I re-recorded it. I tried it again. He said, nah, that ain't it. It's making him have to cut so much out, make it real flat. I understand what he was saying.
Yeah.
So I had to buy, like, extra padding.
Sound treatment,
Yeah, and once I got it there, he was like, that's it. I mean, I might have re-recorded like 3 or 4 songs. I re-recorded them songs at least 5 times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is important because, if you're actually recording something, you have to have that acoustic padding and treatment because otherwise you're going to get echoes.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of even slightly hear it in here, even with some of these on there, you know what I'm saying? But I ain't want to cover the walls. But is dope that you took heed to that. You didn't get offended. You fixed it.
Because he also wanted to give me the best product.
Yeah.
So he's mixed Future. He's mixed, you know, all the big people. Because he used to work out of Patchwork. So, so these people, the mastering guy, Kenny Mix, turned me on to him. These people that I met, who I met through Sanchez.
Yeah.
Sanchez Home is a Tiny God brother. He used to be my producer engineer.
Okay.
I used to work with him a lot before he passed. But I ended up getting introduced to Kenny Mix through him. And then once he passed, I'm like, I don't have anybody to do my mixing. I know who I was going to go through for mastering, but I'm like, I ain't got no mix, got this and that. I ended up talking to Kenny, because I had another guy that was a friend of mine, too. I ended up talking to Kenny, and Kenny turned me on to this guy. And this guy like, man, look, I want to make sure I give you the best product, so I don't want to just mix something for you and just give it to you and say, yeah, here you go, bro. Like, he's like, nah, I want it to sound good. So he's like, I want to make sure you sound right. I don't want you to, you know, act like I gave you bad product. So when I did get it right and he re-recorded it, he sent it back to me. The vocals sound great, but I'm like, hey, the track sound different because I get the track out. So I'm like, the track sound a little different, man. They sound like 2 separate pieces.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah. He said, what I did was just sent you what the mix sound like. But he said, I now have to remix the track because I was mixing it based on the old vocal. So it takes a lot. So it's a process. So if I re-record some stuff and it sound better, now you got to redo the track. So it's
that is facts. Yeah. And a lot of artists don't realize that when you have the track out, they actually have to mix the actual track. Instrumental, the track as well, you know, like, so that's good that you really learned so much about the business. Do you think that you'll ever want to dive into learning how to engineer and mix and master?
Engineering, yes, but I get a little lazy. Like, I used to produce, too. Back then when I was with doing my old stuff with I Bet You Want Swain Kick, though, and all that, when I was a producer, too, because my partner, he put me onto it. We all was doing it at the same time because it was fun. So what happened is I'm too much of a perfectionist. I mess around and I go back to the beat 5, 6, 7 times, and I'm like, bro, it needs to be done. And but I got friends who are fire.
Yeah.
So I said, Sanchez Home, my boy Roster, he went by Cheese Gambino before he passed. Matter of fact, they all passed. My boy Sanchez Home, platinum producer, he didn't work with Elton John, L. Cool J, everybody. My boy Roster used to do, what's them boy? He used to know,
Street Money Worldwide, Bankroll Fresh.
Bankroll Fresh, yeah. And all them. All these folks watched us with back in Kick those days. You know what I'm saying? So they're fire. And what I learned is when you have producer friends, they make so many tracks that they couldn't, they're not possibly going to be able to sell all of them or give them all away.
That's right.
They have so many. So when they're close to you and they know you and they like what you do, they're going to give you some.
Yeah.
Even if they sell them to you, it's going to be a good ticket. Like, and it's good. And we still do the business when it comes to paperwork. Like, you get the credit, you get your credits and all the other stuff. But
yeah,
they rock with you because they still want their stuff out there, you know. So
facts. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's another big part that these artists and producers, mm-hmm. y'all need to listen up. Producer agreements and split sheets.
Oh, my God.
It's so important because if your track ever potentially gets picked up for sync licensing, they want to put it in a film, mm-hmm. and you haven't signed any type of paperwork as your producer, that's going to hold up the entire process. So right. Producers, make sure you're getting them producer agreements and those split sheets done out the gate, man. It's so important.
Because that paperwork ain't right, man. My boy Chez, because he's been in the industry, he know. He's like, you don't want no cease and desist.
No.
Your record doing great, and all of a sudden, you got to pull everything down and hold on until you get everything right. He's like, man, don't worry about the time, and I'll just make sure your paperwork right. So
yeah, because it can happen.
Yes.
Definitely. What is something that you feel like, you know, you told us about the highlights, you know, you got your studio set up. What do you feel like, is there anything you feel like you could improve on right now as an artist?
Really, because I realized I was being a little lazy, yeah. You know.
It happens to all of us, trust right. me.
Because when I was at different times, different group, different things, I realized being out there every day is helps you get your motion. You know
yes.
what I'm saying? I know social media does a lot, but really going out there, meeting the people, talking, all that. And I got kind of lazy. So what I need to do is do what I'm doing now. Step
yeah.
back outside, start letting people know I'm here, let them know what I'm doing, you know, stuff like that. That's really going to improve. When it comes to my records, I'm so diverse. Like, yeah. I have so much stuff in the works on the side. The stuff I have now, no two songs is really the same, but
it
still sounds like me. And they like, bro, you have range. So, and people who know me, they like, they tell me all the time, like, man, I love to see your growth from what you did now to what you did then to what you're doing now. They're just like, I'm just like, same me, far as I know. But, you know, they're just like, bro, it's a difference and they appreciate it. So
yeah.
I also keep going for the people like that who every so often tell me, like, look, I don't know if you noticed. You motivate me. I look up to you. Don't stop what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Just keep going. I'm like, all right, cool. I got you.
That is facts. And, you know, I was thinking about something when I was at the gym the other day. And there was a young lady in there, and she was very obese. But it made my heart happy that she was in there and actually working out. And I always think about, man, I need to lose 20 more pounds. But I feel like, you know what? There's people who wish they were in our position. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We over here, you know, might beat ourselves up over something, but there's people who wish they had our particular situation. Right. So we have to be happy with our current situation. If there's something we don't like, we fix it. We work on
go.
It.
There you go.
Definitely. And that's what you're doing. And that's an easy fix for you. We in Atlanta.
Right.
You could always go out here, you know what I'm saying? Moving strategically.
Yeah.
Not overdoing it. You know what I'm saying?
You'll blow a lot of money out here just going places and people be trying. Man, listen, it's a lot of scam and a lot of people doing a lot of shit. So
man, I hear about it all the time. It's sad because there are a lot of fugazi people out here selling dreams and, you know, booking artists for performances, and they show up and there's not even an event. It's just weird stuff. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, why do people do that? But you learn to kind of figure out who you want to deal with and who you don't.
Yeah. I done did enough of that. I done felt back in the day falling into the trap of the open mic game, but it's like, you need don't always go there looking to win the big prize.
Exactly. Period.
You go there for exposure.
Yes.
You go there to build fans. So I realized, like, when I used to do it back in the day, like, bro, we would build fans. People will get to know you. People, you will meet other people. When they bring special people out and you do great, they'll come introduce themselves. They'll talk to you, and they'll, you know, so it's like, hey, do it for the exposure. Do your thing. Don't worry about all that. Because if you sit here going every day paying money to get on this thing and you expecting to win this big prize and you never do, and you see somebody that they've been talking to for weeks and you feel like, oh, they played me. They've been to him. But
it's rigged and all
right.
this.
But that guy has been coming here consistently, and it may be his just due. They know him because he's always here. So you can't always be mad about that. Just do your thing.
Yes.
Don't even put no pressure on
you. That is a great point. Yeah. That is a great point because you are absolutely right. I've been doing open mics and showcases for years. Bigga and I do them together. And we, not very often, but we have had a couple situations where people got upset because they didn't win. And I'm like, come back and try again. Dust yourself off and try again, you know? Like you said, if not for nothing, go network with the DJ. Now you've met a new DJ. Right. Move the club, move around the club and introduce yourself to some people.
Right. You're not the only one with a good song either.
Facts.
You could have a great song, but guess what? Three more people in here got great songs. Like, what are you going to do?
Right.
Like, day one, like, you got to respect if it was good music, or even if you don't feel like the music was that great, but for some reason the crowd hyped up on it, bro, you can't be mad he moved the crowd.
That's right.
He, she, whoever, can't be mad. So you got to respect the game. You just got to respect it.
Facts. They could have better stage presence than you. They could have brought 30 people, yes, and you brought one.
Yes, and that's the thing.
That makes a difference.
That's a big thing. It's like, you know, I've been in groups back then, but more recently, now I'm more of a, I moved solo.
Yeah.
Me and my cousin, we did stuff. We were still just me and him, and yeah, we would do our thing. And the people we met were the people that rocked us would be the people in the crowd, because we've been coming to these places, so they know us.
They
so
recognize you, yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, it can get discouraging sometimes when you go places by yourself, and then you see the people with a crowd of people. The song might not be that great, but their group presence make them seem bigger.
Absolutely.
Like, I can respect that, but, you know, whatever. I'm still moving, because it's probably three people that really rock with you. Two of them people came with one of the three, and then it's two other guys who don't even know you, don't even care about you. So when something happened on some snake side, and people like, see, this person was in his group the whole time. That person was never in his group.
Right.
That was a friend of a friend who was there, who probably never liked this guy and wished that they were in the position. So that's why you like, you can't have a big crowd with you all the time. Can't trust everybody.
I couldn't agree more. I'm like that too. I'm a very solo dolo person. When I was younger, I used to hang out with a lot of my homegirls, but now I'm like, I even told you, even sometimes when I go do stuff, you know, when I hike and stuff, I'm by myself, because, you know, I don't mind. I can stand on my own, but I'm like you. And my OG tells me all the time, like, I always listen to him. And some of the things we talk about is, if you bring two people and they bring two people and they bring two people, it's this person over here that's a knucklehead that's going to do some dumb ish and get you jammed up potentially because you're guilty by association types. We ain't trying to do all that. We too grown for that.
There you go.
We are too grown for that. Take us through your actual creative process. Are you a writer?
Up until last year.
Okay, so you freestyle punch in?
Yeah, I do punch in now, but it's still, when I look back at it, it's still like writing.
Yeah.
Because it's not like I'm just going to freestyle and say, okay, that's it. No, I don't like how that was said. I'm going to redo it.
Yeah.
I'm going to redo it. So I'm pretty much writing. I'm writing in the system.
Understood.
Instead of writing on the paper. The real problem is now that I'm having is, when I send it through the system to have my, like for Apple Music to have the lyrics in there, and Instagram to have the lyrics in there, I got to go back and rewrite everything and send it through the system. Like, oh my God. But back then, before this, I wrote everything. Like, and when I write it would give me time to make sure it makes sense.
Yes.
Make sure this go with this. But it'll take me longer sometimes.
Yes.
When I'm punching in, I can kind of do it a little faster, because now I'm more into the hype instead of focusing on if it makes sense. Because I do want my songs to make sense and make sure this stuff go with this sometimes. So it's like, you make it make sense. But I do have this song that's just, it's just random stuff, you know. So, but the punching in is, I'm starting to feel a way about it, because I'm like, dang, man, I ain't wrote nothing in a long time. I miss writing. And I just sit in front of the studio, hit the button, stop it. All right, think about it. Play that part back. Play it back in. Okay, play it back, and then I punch in again. Da, 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 da. And it sound good, and it's like, I kind of like that. It keep me from having to write too much, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, it's all good.
Listen, everybody's creative process is different, you know, and oftentimes it changes or elevates over the year, and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm. But was writing for you like a form of, like, therapy?
Yeah. So, like I said, back in the beginning when I first started, I would write songs, but I didn't write to beats.
Yeah.
I didn't write to any beats. Yeah. I had plenty of songs wrote up, no beat. Mm. So I could form whatever I had to any beat that I got.
I love it.
Then it got to the point where it became that I can't write anymore.
Yeah.
So then I would get a track and write to the track.
Mm.
So now for me, it's hard for me sometimes. I can't write a song without the music.
Yeah.
Because for me, I feel like the music tells me what to write.
You got to hear it. Yeah, it speaks to you.
There you go. So I'm like, well, I'm listening to the track. Track got to tell me what I need to put on here. I've written things to other tracks and then transferred to something different.
Yeah.
And it worked great. But normally, when I listened to it, it really worked well with the original.
Right.
You know, and it's just how it is, because it was written for this.
Yeah.
It wasn't written for that. I would have to rewrite something new for this one.
Absolutely.
But I've done stuff and maybe had a hook on this track, but then the track art was not available, so I got another one. And I was like, okay, the hook worked. So now the verses are going to go specifically for the new track.
Mm.
The hook had to be adjusted, the cadence, how I said it.
That was actually going to be my next question. Do you ever, you kind of partially answered it for me, do you ever go back and change how you actually deliver it? You know, because based upon, like, you could have a verse or a hook and you deliver it one way, but then you turn around, deliver it another way, and it sounds totally different. Even though it's the same words, but it's how your delivery is. So that sounds like something you do based upon how you want it to come out on that particular beat.
Yeah. I've done that. So once I record a song and I have the, like, and the song's done, I have the words, typically I don't change it.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. Like, if I say, I don't like the song, let me scrap the whole song and re-record it on the same beat, it's hard because I only hear what I did before. So
right.
Typically, I'm done. Once I'm done, I'm done.
Yeah.
So sometimes it may take me long to even finish it, because I know once I'm done, I'm done. I'm not going back and changing this, changing that.
Right.
But like, I've had hooks and I wanted to do some harmonizing. I can't sing, you know what I'm saying? But the harmonizing part didn't work as well as I wanted. So then I went back and went more of a harder rap type thing.
There you go.
And it sounded better.
Right.
I still wanted the harmonizing part, but I'm like, fuck.
Put a little auto-tune on there.
But it didn't work. It doesn't work. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it like this. And then I might come up with some auto-tune stuff in the background.
Yeah.
That's more of a, I don't necessarily have to be a singer to make that work. And it work out great.
Absolutely.
You know? So.
And you have a great engineer. Yeah. Having a great engineer is major key, because there are some artists that I've heard perform live and they sound absolutely nothing like their track. And it's because they have a great engineer who really, like, put that sparkle and shine on their vocals, you know?
See, they don't get engineer no credit.
No, they don't. God. I speak on this often. Why are engineers not getting the credit like a producer does? Because really, yes, shout out to the producers, because it really kind of starts with them. You got to have that beat for you to make a song to. But these engineers, they're the ones that seal the deal.
Yeah, they do. Because if you don't have a good engineer, it makes the song sound trash. But the beat's fine. But, bro, that song trash, you know? But with the engineer, you just, like, when it's not mixed and mastered or something like that, it's like a great song cannot be a great song because you can't hear it.
Man.
You're not hearing it the right way.
Yeah.
And then there's songs that aren't as great as this song, but it's been mixed and mastered.
Yes.
So the clarity of it, the sound, sonically, you like it. It is what it is, you know? So, I had to learn it.
Have you tapped into the Dolby Atmos yet?
No, not yet. I've been seeing it, but that's
it's out of this world.
Yeah.
I have a good friend of mine. Shout out to Raphael Capone. He owns Soul Asylum Studio. It's like 10 minutes from here off of Buford Highway. Mm-hmm. And to my knowledge, he's either the only or one of the very few Dolby Atmos studios in Atlanta. And the room initially was like a movie theater room. He has a huge studio, right? Mm-hmm. He turned it into his Dolby Atmos room. And when you sit in there, it's like you just hear every sound coming from it's blow sound, surround sound out the water. And he does, like, you know, 2 Chainz, and he's got Jeezy, a bunch of these artists that he's worked with, Plax on as well. That Dolby Atmos. One time, take a field trip over to Soul Asylum. I know you work with Patchwork and they're a beautiful, phenomenal studio, but check them out if you ever want to look at the Dolby Atmos, because at some point in time, Apple Music will not allow artists to get on any of their playlists unless they have a Dolby Atmos mix and master on there.
That's where it's going.
That's where it's going. That's that sound quality.
Yeah, sure.
Definitely. Do you have a signature ad lib?
Do I? Shoot.
It's like, that's a great question.
because what a lot of artists do. And I'm not sure if, even when I hear artists, I can tell from back in the day, you don't hear that signature ad lib. You hear that signature ad lib once they jump off.
Yes.
It'd be the part that everybody just says and they like it, and now they have to say it all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably do, and don't even pay attention to it.
Exactly. I'm going to have to listen to like 5 of your songs and see if I catch something in all 5 of them, or 4 out of 5.
My ad libs are just... The sound that I use is different than my vocals.
Yeah.
But I can't think of anything. Now that I'm thinking about it. And I think about that too. And I ain't gonna lie. I'm laughing because when you said, I'm like, I do think about it. Like, what's gonna be my ad lib?
You,
like,
yeah, you gotta have that man. Signature ad lib that's gonna stay with you throughout your career.
Oh my God. I need something that says, nah, we know it's him because of his vocals or how he's doing his ad libs, not necessarily that word. Because yeah, I do get tired of it. Because then you hear people, hear him do features on other people's songs. And I know the engineer just has a cut of that ad lib. Yeah. Throw it in into the mix. Like, golly. So yeah, nah, not that I know of.
But I like the fact that you switch up how you actually deliver your music. You know, they know it's you, hands down, and that's the goal. When your music comes on, whether they hear it on the radio or, you know, Spotify, they like, oh, that's Open Face. I know that for sure. You know what I'm saying? And you've nailed that. You know, like you said, even if you do different styles of music, they still know it's you. Are you open to or looking at ever doing other genres of music?
I thought about it, like, you know, rock and roll, yeah. Country, yeah. You know, stuff like that, yeah. EDM, you know.
Afrobeats, pop, like.
I mean, I have one. I have an Afrobeat
do
song.
Do you really?
Yeah, I have like I have an R&B song, I have an Afrobeat song, you know, it's kind of.
I love it.
Yeah, you know, so I try.
But definitely, like you said, even rock, country, tapping into, because they have such a huge fan base.
Yeah.
It's like I tell artists, if you only do one genre, not knocking it, but you're kind of limiting yourself. Mm-hmm. Because not everybody listens to rap music. Not everybody listens to, you know, hip hop or whatever.
Right.
If you want to be a mega superstar, you got to be open to doing all of it at some point in time.
You really do. That's what, Flocka.
Yeah.
Walker went over to the EDM for a little while, and Lil Jon, like, man, them boys straight.
Absolutely. Nelly, Flo Rida.
Flo Rida, right.
You know, like, some of these artists have just tapped into other lanes, and they're still relevant today.
Yeah.
Because they gained such a big fan base, definitely. So that's something you're open to.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely, man. Shh, come on. I got a guy now who I work with somewhere. Like, he worked for Georgia Power.
Okay.
And when you see him and you hear his voice, I'm like, damn, bro. I said, bro, you sing or something? He's like, nah, man, I don't sing. What you mean? He said, bro, I said, you got a voice. You sound like you should be doing country music.
Because
I've seen country artists, and it's like, bro, you got a voice. You got to, bro, you should try. He's like, nah, I ain't never thought about that. I said, man, look, just give me some time, bro. I got you.
I'm gonna work with him on it.
I'm going to come up with some stuff for you, you know. So, and that country sound, oh, it's
there's a lot, I've noticed it as of lately, a lot of artists, some that I personally know that have always done hip hop are now transitioning into doing some country music, and it's working.
Yeah.
It's working.
I used to listen to, I checked out Georgia, is it Georgia, Florida Line?
Yes.
Florida, Georgia. Them boys sound like, I'm not listening to this, like, hey.
Yeah.
Megan Trainor?
Yes.
She got that sound. They all got this sound that's like.
She just did that record with T-Pain. Yeah, did you? Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, y'all got it. Okay. So I could do that. I could do it.
Absolutely. And Ori just even collabing with somebody. Like, you know, T-Pain collabed with Megan Trainor. And
yeah.
Man, T-Pain's a super talented one. That dude can sing.
He's been doing this thing for a while. Thank you, T-Pain, for your contribution.
Facts. Yeah. Absolutely. Outside of the music business, are there other business ventures that you're pursuing or would like to pursue?
You know, like most artists, I got a clothing brand I want to start called Black and Whites.
Okay.
You know, I'm slowly working on that. I'm still mostly on my music.
Yeah.
I mean, I ain't really trying to get into no acting, but I'm not going to tell them, nah, I don't want to do it. You know what I'm saying?
You could be on the big screen. You got to look for it.
Gosh, you know. Thank you. But other than the clothing thing, you know, I'm a handyman. You know, if you need something fixed, I can fix it.
Okay. You know? Jack of all trades.
Yeah. I wear a lot of hats, you know.
You have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to have multiple hustles out here. Mm-hmm. Cannot just do one thing.
I was thinking about getting back into producing, but like I said, the time it take, I know good producers, so it's kind of like, why even worry about it?
Understood.
Like, my guy, let my guy do it, and I got you. So
I get it. I hear that. Often from artists who started out producing and now they're fully in the artist lane, they're like, man, I've got some great producers. Why would I do it? So nothing wrong with that. You know, leave it to them because that's you know, putting more money in their pocket.
That's their passion.
That's their passion.
I like it enough to do a little bit, but I don't like it enough to do it all. You know what I'm saying?
Understood. It goes back to what we said early on in the conversation. You have to find what makes you happy.
There you go.
You have to, because if you're not 110% happy with something you're doing, you're not going to put your all into it. You're going to half-ass it, and it's just going to fall by the wayside. Music is your passion for you. Yeah. What is your purpose through music?
Man, to be honest with you, man, because I really enjoy music. The thing I'm missing is being heard. You know, being heard, making your stamp out here.
Yeah.
And say, man, you know, Oprah, you heard Oprah? Boy, that boy, fire. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's like for people that I know that has never, they've never been heard. And it's like, bro, he's better than this person.
Yes.
But he never got the opportunity. And then he just stopped and just went on and did something different. Yeah. It's like, damn, man, I think you should still do this.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I want to go to one of these award shows. I want to get like, I don't know if I want a Grammy or nothing like that, but you know.
Even BET Hip Hop Awards.
Yeah, I think I want to do. I think I want to do that. You know,
listen,
just enjoy the ride, enjoy the moment. Do a show here and there. Do a tour. I want to do five shows, and I got paid for the year at this point. I don't have to do nothing else if I don't want to.
Man,
like, let's do that.
Tour money is serious because we can't, not we, but artists cannot depend on streaming money. You have to get literally millions and billions of streams, which it's almost impossible to do. Yeah, just being realistic. Yeah, yeah. When you're only getting a fraction of a cent for one, that's insulting as much as time and money that you as an artist invest and pour into your music career to only get a fraction of a cent.
I mean, it's not fair. I saw something on the internet where they were trying to change that, where they're trying to give artists more money. Per stream,
they don't want to do that though.
Yeah,
they don't want to do. They want to put it all in their pocket.
And they making all the money on all the platforms.
That's facts.
Making all the money, but they're not trying to give up anything. It's like the rich want to be rich.
Yeah,
and they know how to stay rich.
That's facts. Do you have your own website?
Openfaceatl.com.
Look at you, openfaceatl.com. Yeah. Have you thought about selling your music on your website? True fans are going to buy it.
Yeah, so anytime I release a song, I release it. I also go to my site and add it as an item for them to buy.
Look at you. Now that's dope.
Yeah, I try.
No, you're not trying. You're doing. Big difference. Take that out your vocab. You're doing it. Yeah, because it's like oftentimes we have to take it back to the basics. They would sell it really real deal selling music back in the day. Now it's like people paying for streaming platforms and I spend $10 a month and can listen as much music as I want. It's like, wow, how much are these artists getting paid? Next to nothing.
Nothing. I remember selling CDs out of the trunk.
There you go.
Me and my cousin, we'll go do a show, do our song. I quit. We get done. We got a book bag. Guess what people want to do now? Hey, we selling our CD for like $3. You want to buy? And because heard you and they like it, they're going to buy. They're going to say, well, look, here, take five.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Just because we like you, we appreciate that, and you will make your money. So...
that's facts. Yeah. I really wish that was something that hadn't phased out. I miss that era because I used to buy CDs left and right from people, just even if I never even heard their music, just I wanted to support their vision. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand it took them money to press them CDs up. It's taking them time to get out here to sell them.
Yes, that money you spend, I had a box, CDs. You got to get the CDs, the clip inserts, and the flyer, the slide in.
The single cover. Oh, if you want it to be professional, you're going to do all that. God.
Yeah, we just go out there and just pass them out. But you know, if you got rid of this whole box, how many units you sold? So it's like, hey, we get rid of this, we good now. But it was... oh my God, that was some time. That was fun. It was fun.
Do you rely heavily on social media when it comes to your music?
I mean, for the most part.
Yeah.
For the most part, because everything is
digital now.
Yeah. So I'm about to start doing more shows to kind of bring it up, you know, get with more of the DJs.
Getting more content to post.
Yeah, because the content thing is, you know, you got to want to be in front of the camera all day. And
it's a lot.
Like, you can make your own content, but then they also want you to do the funny stuff.
And do this. You got to be a comedian. Yeah, you got to be a dad. You got to be a homemaker. Yeah. You got to be a handyman. You
got to do everything. So it's like, can I just do the music and just.
Right.
You know, but and I'm okay with it though. It's decent.
Absolutely. Because I feel like social media is kind of for me, is a bittersweet. It's on the sweet side because it allows you to touch the whole world.
Yes.
But on the bitter side, it allows everybody to feel like they've made it and they're superstars. And going back to, like I said, the digital or the streaming platforms, they are allowing people with bad music to put it up there. They need to have a AI system to filter that crap out.
I mean, but even with when I release through TuneCore, they'll tell you certain things like your music need to be this type of quality before they'll let you release it. But you know, people are able to get under the radar.
Exactly.
And released, you know, so it's like.
And there's so many distribution companies out here now. Not all of them have that standard like TuneCore does, yeah. Sadly, you know.
Even the artwork, it can't be a certain type. You know, it has to be so many pixels. It has to be this.
Right.
Oh, they won't release it. And they'll tell you Apple will not release your stuff if it's not like this.
Apple's the most particular about that. Like I said, even going back to they're not going to allow artists on playlists anymore on Apple if they don't have a Dolby Atmos mix, which I respect that about them because they want the high standard, high quality. They want to be the top dog.
There you go.
I respect that. Definitely. What do you got coming up, man? Like, do you have anything in the works that we can be on the lookout for?
Right now, can I
go? You say whatever the fuck you want.
Oh, okay. I know some people try to, you know, because I heard you when you were saying some stuff and you kind of just.
I personally don't use profanity in my interviews. Yeah. I've gotten used to it because I'm on FM radio 5 nights a week here in Atlanta. So I've gotten used to not using profanity, yeah, yeah. But I don't mind if other people do.
Okay, because I pay attention. So I heard it.
I've just been gotten used to it because I can't curse on my FM show.
Right.
But when I log out the door, I be cussing everybody up. Trust me. It don't offend me. Go right ahead.
So right now I'm working with a song called Rich Bitch.
Which we're going to check out.
Yeah, so.
Great record, by the way.
Thank you.
Great record.
And you know what? The crazy part, that was one of the first, when I first got my studio set up, that was the first freestyle I did. That was considered freestyle. Like, when I'm telling people, like, man, I didn't like the song. I'm like, it's just a freestyle. I ain't studying it. So, when I talked to my boy, I was trying to figure out what songs to push.
Yeah.
That song, I had three songs, Rich Bitch, Spin It All, Fuego, and it was one more song, and I was like, here, which one of these do you like?
Yeah.
So I can see what I want to do. Oh, Five in the Morning.
Yeah.
I have a song called Five in the Morning that's released too, but he was like, I like Rich Bitch.
I like you got unique titles for all of them too. Yeah, that's dope. Yeah.
So he liked Rich Bitch. When I recorded Rich Bitch, my engineer said the same thing, like, bro, this song need to be out right now. So we decided to go with that song, and I'm like, dang, why I put that one on the list? Because I liked it the least.
Yeah.
Because I'm not gonna lie, I didn't put a lot of effort into it. I kind of was just like vibing with the track. It was something different. I'm like, let me try this.
Yeah.
And I just kind of went with it. But now I like it.
You yeah.
know, because but it was my least favorite.
Had to grow on you a little bit.
It grew on me. So you know, my boy Yasin, he was like, we gonna do this one. So I ended up spending the money, got a video shot, did the video and all the other stuff. So
I might as well check it out.
Yeah, so that's what I'm pretty much working on right now. I shot with Orbit did it.
Okay.
Orbit did a lot of stuff. He did a lot of bankroll stuff too.
Dope.
He done shot a lot of people. He did El Chapo for 2 Chainz.
Okay.
He did one of Boosie videos.
Some nice accolades.
Yeah, my boy.
He fire with the lens, huh? Yeah. Shout out to him. Yeah. Orbit Films.
Orbit did it.
Orbit did it. Yeah. Shout out to Orbit did it, man. That is fire, yeah, you know. That's one of the most crucial people outside of your engineer is having a good videographer.
Yeah.
That can bring your vision to life. Or if you maybe have a show, have him come out and document it. I tell people, if you don't document it, damn, it didn't happen. Nah, you have to document it.
But I work with I'm work with his boy because the last with Rich Bitch, he called his boy Vic Supreme. Vic Supreme is here. Vic Supreme got the because he was living here, but he moved out to Texas. So he flew down here to shoot the video with me, and one of the cameras he needed, he called his boy Vic Supreme. Vic Supreme got the big boy camera.
Yeah,
but he's a videographer too. They used to work together. They shot one of the films for bankrolling them and all that. He shot like a lot of the videos and all that stuff. So they used to work together. I'm going to start working with him because he's here. And
right.
Man, that boy take photos. He made fire. So, you know, the connections, man. So.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
Out here shaking hands and kissing babies.
Yeah. So, I'm working on Rich Bitch. I said 5 in the morning out right now. I got a song called Trophy. Mm. That's the one that's more of a singing type thing. Yeah. You know,
for the ladies.
For the ladies. Yeah. You know, I still got my Baya, that's the like Afrobeat.
That. I was gonna say, you know, that's gotta be the Afrobeat one.
Yeah.
I love it.
So since Rich Bitch got the video right now, I'm pushing that, but I'm thinking about dropping the EP because I got a lot of songs.
You should.
Yeah,
put you a little 5-6 piece together. You know what I'm saying? Because in this era, you know this, people have a short attention span.
Yes.
The days of 15-20 tracks is out the window. you break it down and you could do three projects with that, five piece EPs, and people are going to listen to it. That is facts.
That's what I'm doing right now. I got I got enough songs to do about three.
Yeah.
So I'm right now I'm breaking them down to see where I want to put each song. Cause, I got one called Love Me. It's more of a female based. A lot of songs I talk about women a lot. Not in a bad way.
Of course.
I just kinda do stuff. So one is called Love Me. Then I got one called Game.
Yeah.
Where it has more of the hood, the heart, not life songs. Yeah. It's the more the, you know, oh, he's telling the story on this. Yeah. Most of them got a story, but it's like he really telling the story.
Yeah, understood.
You know? So I don't know how. I'm trying to figure out how I want to put them together because I don't want to give you. Love Me is going to be more the female thing, but I got other songs that I'm putting that together.
That could be an EP title, Slick. Love Me.
That is. That's the EP. One I'm going to call. Yeah. It's going to be, you got Love Me, you got Game, and then I got I can't think of the other one. But my first album I did is pretty old. It's called Open Season.
I like that.
Got an album. It had about six, seven songs on it.
You come up with some great titles. And that's important too. A lot of people don't think that deep. If you have a song title and it just has a basic name, people are like, oh, it's just another trap record. But when you come up with some unique titles, that alone aesthetically will draw people in.
Yeah.
And you've nailed it by having some really dope music titles.
Thank you.
Do you typically put clean versions out for your records as well?
Everything, yeah. Like I said, my boy, man, they put me up on stuff. So anytime I release a record, I also release the clean version at the same time.
You have to.
And they got to have a clean art. Even when it comes to the EPs and the album, they have dirty and clean versions. So it is what it is.
Bro, you are honestly, I'm going to keep a G with you. You're one of the very few artists that I've ever asked that who said yes. I tell them, I'm like, you are missing out if you don't also upload the clean version, because there's a lot of kids who have parental, you know, blocks, and they can only listen to clean music. Or what if somebody wants to play in a store, like, you know, they got music, whatever.
You got to have it.
You're on the right path.
Yeah. That the trophy song doesn't even have cursing.
There you go.
So I didn't have to do a clean and dirty. Yeah. They're just, this is it. I kind of mentally paid attention to what I said and different things like that. So,
because not every song needs profanity in it.
Right, nah.
Especially if you're talking to the ladies. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You don't have to use all that. You know, it's cool on the turn up records.
Yeah. But not when I'm trying to be with your baby. You got
You
know what I'm saying? Like,
she don't want you calling her the B word. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, right.
Definitely. So we're going to check out this record. Who produced Rich Bitch?
Let me think. There is a, I want to be sure. Okay, so Ruben Barbero. Who is this? So I got a track called, hold on. Oh my God, you gonna have me. Hold on, let me see. I can tell you. We gotta
pay our dues to that person.
Yeah. Let me see. I got it in my files because even when I put it out there, when I put the name, I have to put, you know, I gotta put his name on there. I gotta hurry up too, because my phone on how many percent?
Thing about to die.
That man, I'm about to be out of here in a minute. Let's see. He is. I. It was in my head, and I just forgot about it, like literally. But Ruben Barbero.
Okay.
Right. Let me see. Overface Masters. I'm probably not gonna find it.
That's okay.
But what is this guy's name? I hate it.
Is it somebody you met like on social media?
It was more of a social media. It was a social media guy, and matter of fact, no, it was a YouTube guy.
Okay,
that I messed around and said some 27 Crones.
Oh, that's it.
Crones, yeah. I saw him. It was a song on YouTube, and I wanted the track, so I emailed him and did all that, and I end up buying a track from him. And what happened was, when the holidays came around, he was like, hey, we got a special. If you do this, we'll give you this many beats.
Yeah.
And he gave me a beat pack. And he's, you know, got the contract in and said, hey, you got the rights to these right here, but you have to put 27 Crones beats behind it. And that's what I did. I appreciate him.
Absolutely.
I appreciate him.
Absolutely. That is dope, man. You know, there are some producers out there, if they hear what you got going on, they just, you know, hey, make sure I get my credits. They're not going to necessarily charge you for the beat. They just want to make sure they're getting their just due, their proper credits. So
that's it.
Definitely. And the official visual is out now. Is your YouTube listed under Open Face ATL?
My YouTube, you can just look up Open Face. Look, yeah. Just put in Open Face Music. Open Face, two words, put in music, and it's going to pop up my videos and then my personal page.
Got you.
I'm slick revamping a little bit. But
that's okay. You know. That's okay. And you put your videos on your website as well, typically?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I try. Because I got a video distribution thing too, though, so that I can have a Vivo.
Okay.
So my video's on Vivo, and then the Vivo is on the YouTube.
Yes.
And it all run together. And then if you get so many streams on Vivo, it automatically goes to Music Choice.
Man, that is amazing. You know, so opens other doors for you.
Yeah, so I'm, you know, trying to working. Make it all work. Yeah, I'm working.
Working. I love it, man. Well, listen, before we get into the record, tell everybody where they can keep up with you. Tell them your website again and your social platforms.
You know what? You got to corner your market. So on all social media, it's Open Face ATL, all one word. So my website is openfaceatl.com, and all my social media handles, Open Face ATL.
So do you officially go by Open Face ATL or just Open Face?
Open Face.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like.
But it's easy just to, you know, let me boom so you know.
Understood. You have to have it the same across the board.
Across the board. Yeah, so I had already stamped that. It's like, well, I already got
stick
like,
with it.
Yeah, so.
100%. Who do you want to shout out to, give some thanks to, show some love to?
Man, shout out to the world. What do you mean? You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Tampa, Misty.
Hey.
Shout out. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to, man. Man, my family, man, just everybody who supports me, man, the people that rock with me.
Yeah. You know? And shout out to yourself out here making it happen.
Yeah, man, I'm
working.
Trying to be a one-man team, but anybody want to work, you know, I'm trying to, you know, I got to build my team up because it's going to be a lot easier because it's hard to do everything.
It really is, and it's even harder to build a good team. They come and go.
They do. They really do.
That's why I'm by myself most of the time. Like today, you know what I'm saying? For sure. Like I got people who help, but they can't always be here. So we have to learn to be self-sufficient.
You really do. You really do.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and get into this record, man. Give us that official introduction for it.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Open Face, man. You about to listen to my hot new record, Rich Bitch, on all platforms. Check me out.
Let's go.
You're locked in with Atlanta's hottest hip-hop station. The Hype 87.3.
You better make it quick. Real rich bitch. Better make it thick. It better make sense. You better make it quick. All I want is a real rich bitch, that is it. Two tones, it don't matter, make it thick, that is it. All these dollars, so it better make sense, that is it. Time is money, so you better make it quick, that is it. All I want is a real rich bitch, that is it. Two tones, it don't matter, make it thick, that is it. All these dollars, so it better make sense, that is it. Time is money, so you better make it quick, that is it. Super thick, cute bitch, bout to throw a bitch rent. This your song, do that shit. Grab that pole, do the split. Tell them hoes you the shit. Tell them hoes get a check. We not going for the less. Cause I blowin', smell like piss. Smell like everywhere we going, smell like rich.
Richie rich.
When we blow a band, blow a kiss. Watch them diamonds dance on the wrist.
Light wrist.
Baby, shake your ass, pop your shit.
Rich, thick, bitch.
Ay.
Rich, thick, bitch.
Ay.
Real, rich, bitch.
Ay.
Real, rich, thick, bitch.
All I want is a real rich bitch. That is it. Two tones, it don't matter, make it thick. That is it. All these dollars, so it better make sense, that is it. Time is money, so you better make it quick, that is it. All I want is a real rich bitch, that is it. Two tones, it don't matter, make it quick, that is it. All these dollars, so it better make sense, that is it. Time is money, so you better make it quick, that is it.